Any questions from anyone? Yes. No, I didn't say that. What I said, well, for the sake of accuracy, what I said is, according to Srila Guru Maharaj, he shed 100 gallons of blood to show what Madhura Rasa is not. So he wrote one book called the Prakriti Rasa Shatadushini. He points out 100 faults of Prakriti Sahajyaism, or imitationists, those who are imitating the position of devotees, imitating devotion. Rupa Goswami warns of this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the Rupa Nuga line. So if Rupa Goswami singles out something as a caution, we have to take it very seriously. So he warns, says two types of cautions are there. Those who are sentimental by nature, right? They cry over anything and everything. Saying, you may see that they're also crying about Krishna. Don't confuse that with divine symptoms. Right? They're just sentimental. That's all. It's just sentimentalism. Do not equate that with pure devotion. On the other side, he says, acting. Right? Part of acting is imitation. So someone can, as we know from observing actors and actresses, and I've mentioned for Russians, particularly Stanislavski, the creator of the so-called method, by imitating someone that you can pose as though you are humble, you are moved, your heart feels a particular way, that you're feeling a particular emotion, and convince others to that effect. Rupa Goswami is warning against that. Why? If there are not people who are doing these very things, why should Sri Rupa, the very leader of this line, warn all of those in the line about this? So Srila Saraswati Thakur gives 100 cautions like this. And I made the observation, why 100 negatives? Kabe na, bole na, kabu na. They will never say this, never do this, never not. No, it's why 100 no's? To make it abundantly clear what it is. It's another way, through indirect expression, to, science of devotion by Rupa Goswami. So part of science is to show these things cannot be that particular thing. So then when it comes to identifying the substance, what it is, it's helpful. Well, we have to understand what all these things are rather than jumble them indiscriminately. So his position must be consistent. So, and it must be consistent with, you know, Krishnas Kaviraj, Rupa Goswami, etc. Right. So on this point, what do we hear? the conclusion of Madhya Lila. It says, Krishna Lilamrita Sar Tar Shata Shata Dar Das DK Jaha Vaha Hoite. It's telling us what, it's drawing a comparison between Krishna Lila and Gaura Lila. And it's telling us that Krishna Lila is the highest, Lilamrita Sar, right? The Amrita Sar, the creme de la creme of spiritual substance. But it is inaccessible, as we discussed. Kotishvapi Mahamune, Koti Mukta Durla Madhya Ek Krishna Bhakta. Mahaprabhu's teaching Rupa Goswami. And what is he telling him? This is infinite, but I'll take one drop and explain that. That's where he says, out of 10 million liberated souls, one may be a devotee of Krishna, who's qualified for that ultimate nectarine substance. So what does that mean? That mean it means it is inaccessible for the most part. If one out of 10 million liberated souls can, then what hope is there for ordinary people? So this is why he's drawing a contrast at the conclusion of the Madhya Lila, saying, yes, Krishna Lila is like that. It's inaccessible, most exclusive. So many are excluded from that. As connotation increases, denotation decreases. Right? What's the good news? That Gaura Lila, right, is Krishna Lila in distribution mode. So here, Das DK means the 10 directions, means it's being mercifully extended beyond that exclusive group to those who are otherwise unqualified. Right. So Srila Saraswati Thakur, his Vaikuntha Vritti, here Vaikuntha means, in this sense, liberal, generous, in a mode of generosity, he's trying to bring others in connection with this substance. But what does it mean, right, more specifically? Like we hear the concept, sparsha money means touchstone, but touchstone in the sense of transformative. So he has the faith that if unqualified people will come in connection with this, they'll become qualified. Not that they'll remain unqualified. They'll become qualified. Sometimes when we speak of diksha, initiation, we hear in Hari Bhakti Vilas, what's a qualified guru, who's a qualified disciple, and how this transaction transpires. But Guru Maharaj said, for the most part, what is being enacted is what is called tantric initiation. Now, the word tantric conjures many notions in modern contexts. People only associate tantric with one thing. But here, what it means in the context of this discussion is those who are unqualified are being given an opportunity to become qualified. So that means, let us spell it out, perhaps a qualified guru is giving an unqualified person a chance, thinking when they come in connection with this, they'll be transformed. And there should be some Bhagavatam principle that this is consistent with. So we hear, akama, sarvakama ba, mokshakama udaradi, tivrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purusham param. Second canto of the Bhagavatam. Whether you're akama, free from desire, mokshakama, desiring liberation, sarvakama, full of desires, udaradi, udar, like udarja means magnanimous. From a magnanimous position, they're saying, just direct yourself toward Krishna. And coming in connection with Krishna, somewhere along the way, some transformation is going to take place. As we find in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, his mundane desires were extraordinary, right, of extraordinary magnitude. Right? He wanted a kingdom greater than that of his father, grandfather, etc. It means basically Brahma. He wants a kingdom greater than the universe, not a kingdom within the universe, a kingdom greater than the universe. Right? And to achieve that end, it's taken sometimes that his mother is a Vartma Pradarshak Guru, Patta Pradarshak. She's indicating, go in this direction. The only person who can fulfill these kind of desires is God. Right? Where is this God? Well, sages look for him in the forest. Right? Aranya, Ban, so many sannyas names to deal with the forest, particularly Aranya, Ban. So, but Dhruva Maharaj, so his initial approach, he is in the Sarvakama position. Right? He's approaching God to fulfill some desire. That's his initial approach. But the transformation takes place along the way as he realizes the Lord within his heart, following the directions of Narada. So he's come in contact with the proper agent. Now he's under the guidance of a Vaishnava guru. He's following his direction. Right? We may say, as Guru Maharaj says, to get out of the mud, you may have to walk through the mud for some time. That we concede. To get out of the mud, I mean, it's not always that Vishnu comes down on Garuda and, you know, Gajapati creep out. Tarala, you may have to walk through the mud for a while, but with the intention of coming out of it. At any rate, Dhruva, he sees the Lord within his heart. He undergoes some transformation. His meditation breaks, much to his, sadness. But when he opens his eyes, he sees whom he was meditating upon within his heart is now standing before him. And what does he say? Swamin kritartosmi baram najache. It's a famous sloka. Where now, with some shame, you can say, he gives vent to this expression. I was searching for broken pieces of glass, for shard. That's what my wanting a kingdom greater than the universe is like, broken pieces of glass. And now I found the most valuable gem, diamond, beyond what I imagined. So some transformation took place along the way. And it is his guru, Narad, Rishi, Muni, Yena tena prakarena manikrishne niveshayet, who is the advanced devotees, those of advanced spiritual vision, they will devise ways and means, maybe even novel ways and means, to bring people in connection with Krishna conception. So what is the difference between that, the Vaikuntha Britti of Saraswati Thakur, and the Utpatayaiva Kalpate, with the Rupa Goswami's condemning, saying neophytes, unqualified people, adulterating the substance of Krishna consciousness, introducing deviant practices. What is the difference between that? Who will make these determinations? So Guru Maharaj, with his credentials, a Bhattacharya Brahman, expresses his surprise and shock in response to what Saraswati Thakur is expressing and willing to employ to bring others in connection with Krishna consciousness. And Saraswati Thakur makes the point that this isn't a whimsical thought, something that just came to my mind, recently, 10,000 years ago, I made this decision. And like a shock, it comes to Guru Maharaj. So sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, the goal is the most exclusive. The means may be all-inclusive. Right? Or in another context, he said, have a sign that says, you know, welcome to the land of no admission. Like when we see a room, it says no admission, means no one can go in there. But you're being welcomed to the land of no admission. The land of no admission, in this case, Krishna consciousness. Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception, liberal distribution, Odarja Leela. Skurmar says also, it's a footnote, Gorga Dadhar is Radha and Krishna in Acharja, that's their Acharja Leela, right? Distribution. At the same time, I pointed out the other day, Mahaprabhu is known as the Mahavananaya Avatar, right? And Patita Pavana Gaura Hari, etc. He can't tolerate Upasiddhanta. Right? Like Guru Maharaj said, what did he say? That opposition is more tolerable than imitation. Because opposition has a place to enhance the position of the bona fide. It's indirectly lila nourishing. So that Saraswati Thakur, who is saying he can arrange through a youth hostel, have a youth hostel in London and arrange through a local restaurant, non-vegetarian food, will not allow harmonium in a kirtan. Right? When the manager of the Gaudiya Math, when they did not have so much money, he once rented the equivalent of the Nath Mandir, the Kirtan Hall, for some other type of religious performance. And when that came to be known by Saraswati Thakur, he expressed his disapproval. And he said, the manager told him, well, we've received the deposit. He said, give them their money back. And he said, and I want you to put up a sign on the wall that says, Shravana Sadhan, which you see in the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat to this day, means one way of rendering that is the house of hearing. And he's saying, you can only come here and hear our Guru Varga. You can't make another vibration. You can come to hear them directly or hear about them and their concepts from those who are qualified to represent them, but you can't come and do a kirtan, give a talk, make some other vibration. Right? So that person who's saying he's willing to do all these very broad things to bring people in connection with genuine spiritual substance, he doesn't allow harmonium in his kirtans. He's very strict about other things. Why? Because they have to be brought in connection with actual spiritual substance, not something else. And Guru Maharaj, ever one to give an appropriate example, he said, using the hall for some other purpose, he said, is like renting your wife. Generally, we don't rent the wife. Right? That's the level he saw it on. What is meant for a specific purpose, exclusively for that, we're not in the name of, well, this will bring some money, or this will help the mission, or many things. Guru Maharaj does not allow, like, Julan Yatra in his mats, right? Those who are faithful to his conception. It means the swinging of Radha and Krishna deities. And he said, others may say, oh, it brings many people to the temple, and then they give donations, and then those donations helps spread Krishna consciousness. His response, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitamba, Jagadish, I'm not interested in money, followers, etc. I'm an aspiring servitor of Mahaprabhu. So there are many things to consider when it comes to this. Well, it's like, say you dealing with gold, right? You want to be a gold merchant or be involved in the gold business. And so you could rephrase your question. Well, I don't want to insult any of the people who come presenting what they have. They think it's gold. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, right? Listen. It will mean you will have to become acquainted with identifying what is gold and all of its levels. And if you can't, then you can only work under the direction of someone who does, who has that knowledge. Right? So there's a way of determining what is 24 karat gold, what is 22, 18, 14, 12, what's gold plate, gold wash, gold leaf. What's imitation gold? So just you say, well, I don't want to insult any of the customers. And say, yeah, all right, there's a tactful way to explain to them. We have a process by which we can determine whether or not this is real gold or not. And this is not a fantasy. I've done this in India before. You go to a goldsmith, and what do? They take the gold and they burn it under a lamp and it's covered in black soot. They wipe it off. And that's what a so-called touchstone is. And you scrape it against that. And there's a way of determining what its actual value is. So without becoming acquainted with what it is and the means of understanding and verifying what this substance is, then one is not in a position to represent it or to make determinations with others in either direction, good or bad. Right? Therefore, we're told you have to put yourself under the guidance of a Vaishnava, a substantial Vaishnava who can determine, assess properly what is valuable, what is not valuable, what is substantial, what is not substantial. What is imitation and what is real? Right? Back to Saraswati Thakur. 100 cautions. It won't be this, it won't be that. This is your checklist. So when you see those things, if he says, a actual rasic Vaishnava will never give rasa, and the Rupa Nuga line, will never give rasa shiksha to someone who hasn't the adhikar or capacity to receive it. And you say, oh, but there's this one who's doing that. Oh, well, then you look at your checklist and go, well, according to Saraswati Thakur, he must not be a rasic Vaishnav in the Rupa Nuga line, and he's doing something which is criminal. That's a determination that he's making. It's one example, but there are many. So in general, we say, well, in dealing with other people, what is the general rule? Trinadapi sunichena, tororapi sahishnuna, amanina, amanadina. To be humble, tolerant, offer respect to others. But when some ignorant people heard, thinking that the Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir, there's so many Americans there and they have so much money, the rumor spread that the deity was made out of gold, solid gold. So they wanted to steal Radharani. And maybe Krishna, they were both like that. They heard they're solid gold. And when they came, the leaders at the time defended the deities even with weapons. So some people came to Guru Maharaj and they said, they're not following Mahaprabhu's teachings of being humble, tolerant, and offering respect to others. But Guru Maharaj said, no, I supported them, saying, Srinadapi suni chena to who? That you've come to molest the deity and the Vaishnava, and then I will practice humility? He said, no, with full force, I will defend the deity, the Vaishnava. So, again, there's a famous thing, Acharjavan Purusho Veda. One who's in connection with an Acharya knows what is what. Otherwise, if we lack discerning ability, discriminating ability, or are not in connection with someone who has such ability, then we'll be likely to misjudge, misread. So then it would be better for us to just be generally respectful and not make such determinations. But as once, after being asked so many questions, Srila Guru Maharaj turned to the group of the devotees and said, can I ask you a question?
They're like,
sure. And he said, what is Krishna consciousness? And one person said, it's what Prabhupada taught us. That was a good answer. And then someone else said, bhakti. And Guru Maharaj at one point said, did he say anything about Krishna? Little teasing. And then Guru Maharaj just stopped the whole thing and he said, it is reality. It's reality. And he said, and it's in your interest to become acquainted with that reality. So we're back to this point. How do you determine what is actual gold? And Thailand's famous for the Neelamani, the blue sapphire, right? But you could go to a place, if you go to a jeweler, they could show you a palm full of blue sapphires, 100 of them. And let's just say they do, for example. One of them's worth $35,000. One of them's worth $3,500. One of them's worth $350. And one of them's worth $35. Which is which? So someone will say, and rightfully from their perspective, well, they all look nice to me. That's not untrue. That's true. They all look nice. Someone else may not care. They say, what's the difference? There's that type of level of understanding also. But someone who's in the market for blue sapphires, it's in their interest. Either they need to become acquainted with how to identify, assess value of blue sapphires, or they've got to be in connection with somebody who does, or what's going to happen? They're going to be cheated. So a $35 blue sapphire, they're going to be told that it's worth $35,000. So only this will help. Either become acquainted with it under the guidance of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur in his commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam has a enigmatic expression at one point. He asked the readers to forgive him for becoming a jeweler. As if he's like a mundane, like, oh, I've become a jewel merchant, forgive me. But what he's saying indirectly is that he's selecting so many jewels, gems, gem-like interpretations of slokas, and presenting them to everyone. That's what it is. Right? Krishna, known as Neelamani. Right? Rupa Goswami wrote a book, Ujjal Neelamani, this blazing, brilliant blue sapphire. To make any comparative analysis, as I told before in the currency example, every day it changes. What is the value of currencies? But they have to have some standard to measure these things against. to find out this one's going up in value, this one's going down. Or 50 of these make one of those, or 500 of these make one of those. Right. What do we hear? Sri Rama, Rama, Rameti. Sahasranama, Tatulyam, Rama, Nama, Varanane. It says in one place, Sahasranama, 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to Ram, one Ram Nam. But then so many Ram Nams to a Krishna Nam. So it's not that we're concocting these things. There are ways to determine that. So, and dealing with the plurality of currencies, someone shows up with their money. If that's your job, then of course you don't want to insult the clients, the clientele. They say, yes, we will happily accept yours. And they present something, and they may be surprised. Oh, it only yields one of these. That means quantity and quality. So, Krishna consciousness really is all about gradation, which means understanding superior and inferior. Right? I'm told John Hick, a Christian theologian, he said Christianity is on the verge of a Copernican revolution. Meaning, just like before Copernicus, they thought the earth is the center, it's a geocentric system, and the sun and so many planets are orbiting the earth. Then Copernicus came along, declared a heretic in the beginning, that he's saying, actually, it's a solar system, heliocentric. The sun is in the center, and the earth is one of many planets orbiting that sun. So John Hick, this Christian theologian, said, Christianity is on the verge of a Copernican revolution. Meaning, up to this point, we've thought this is the central God conception. And there are so many others in remote orbit. Say, no, what you're about to find out is this is one of a plurality of theistic conceptions orbiting a central truth, a supreme reality. So then, for those who want to make a comparative analysis, right, someone could say, well, all are in orbit and all are planets, you can find similarities. But if someone wants to start finding a gradation, then they'll have to become acquainted with the central conception and then see how it's reflected into the satellites. Qualitative assessment. So, the analysis of rasa is inevitable. Shanta Dasya Sakya Batsalya Madhura. We're told Madhura rasa contains all the others. It's mukya rasa, adi, the original. All other rasas are satellites of madhura rasa. And that's in line with the central conception of the absolute, the ultimate reality, is Radha and Krishna. So how far are Radha and Krishna, the supreme reality, remember we're dealing with reality, so another way to look at it, how far are they reflected into other theistic systems? And they say, you should love God with your whole heart, your soul, etc. All right, good. And that God, what does he look like? Is he alone? What does he do? Where does he live? That seems to be a natural question. This God that we should love with our whole heart and soul and everything, do you have a picture of him? Show me what he looked like. If I said, there's this girl, and you're going to love them with your whole heart and soul, and the first thing you go, can I see them? Well, no. That would be offensive. I mean, it's common sense. Why do you think? Why is it called Facebook? Why? Does it have anything to do with faces? Maybe? Looking at faces and saying, I like this face and this one I don't like as much? Facebook. So people, they want a social network with God, but no pictures. Why? Why are they afraid? Is God married? Does he have a girlfriend? Is he in a relationship? Relationship status. Complicated. This is what Guru Maharaj says about taking a stand with spiritual common sense. I can sit here, we can quote so many scriptures, verses, etc., but also just use your common sense, too. There's another like her as we speak. Prabhupada, the Krishna book is so beautiful. And the lady artist, Devahuti, she made that painting. Still a very beautiful painting of Radha and Krishna. And what Prabhupada saying in the beginning, just very simply says, when people see a book, he's trying to really make it simple for people. So what's he called the book? Krishna. The Krishna book. And what did he say in the beginning? When people see a book like Krishna, and with the cover, he said, they immediately ask, who is Krishna? And who is the girl with Krishna? If you can answer those two questions, you can understand the Supreme Reality. And any other type of reality. And then you can learn how to measure this reality against that one. You see how relationship-driven we are in this world. Learn from it. It must be there in the original. Once when one of Gurudev's servitors did something wrong, Gurudev's sense of humor and also some statements he makes that are a little like, whoa, like outrageous. He said, if Krishna is like that, then what to speak of us? So, this is the driving principle of existence. So, to what degree is it accommodated in theistic systems? So, for the most part, religion is there's a male God, and the feminine aspect is underserved, underrepresented, to put it mildly. Then what do people think to compensate for that? Yeah, so we worship the goddess. Just, to go in the other direction. But the only balanced, fully balanced, complete expression of divinity is in Bhagavan, meaning Shakti, Shaktiman, feminine aspect and male aspect, the supreme female and the supreme male. And in their Aishwarya pastimes, Lakshmi Narayan, higher, where we find 2.5 rasas. Right? Dasya, Shanta, Dasya, and in the case of some old-time servitors, approaching friendship. So 2.5. You go to Ayodhya, and you have all 5 are there. Shantadasya, Sakya, there's brother and friends, and Vatsalya. And Madhura. But remember, this is seva. So conjugal seva is, in Ayodhya, is exclusive to Sita. And it's interesting just to point out that there's a deity, Balaji. It's worshipped in South India. And the opposite of the Krishna trick on Radharani and Brajagopi, where he pushes out 2 more arms to make 4. Balaji is doing, he has 4, he's trying to keep the 2. But Guru Amar has laughed and said, but there are no youngsters in Vaikuntha. Anyway, in Ayodhya, so much so that conjugal seva restricted to Sita, that in her absence, after she's banished to Valmiki's ashram, Ramachandra must perform as an ideal king. He's doing sacrifice. You need your wife at your side when you do these types of yajnas. So yajna sitas were commissioned, murtis of Sita. And to give us some hint of the beauty of Ramachandra, the yajna sitas became animate and they expressed erotic sentiments towards Ramachandra. And they were told that your desires will be fulfilled when I come as Krishna and Krishna Lila, but this is beyond the purview of Ayodhya and Ram Lila. As also the Dandakaranya Rishis, they didn't openly express, but felt some particular thing in their hearts. They were, it was indicated to them that also their desires will be fulfilled in Krishna Lila. So only Krishna Lila is ultimately all accommodating. The highest expression, the full spectral range of all possible loving expression. So including Parakiya Bhav, which is the predominating sentiment, divine sentiment of Goloka Vrindavan. Expressed in Radharani and Brajagopis as paramour love. But, as Gurudev and Guru Maharaj have pointed out, from Yashoda, how is Parakiya Bhav expressed there? When she hears rumors that Krishna is not her son. She hears rumors that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Or cowherd boys, they hear, they say, people say, Gopal is not one of us. What? Our Gopal? Yes. They're saying he's a god descended, or maybe God himself. Gopal? Yes, Gopal. So that's how it's realized with the Cowherd Boys and Vatsalya Rasa, it has more extensive position. Brindaranyam Swapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. Goloka. At the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna, the earth, which we generally take to be in Shantarasa, is shivering in conjugal ecstasy. So, what is not possible in that plane? So again, Srila Saraswati Thakur, he's thinking, somehow being, or other, bring people in connection with us, and they'll become transformed. But they'll become transformed, coming in touch with the actual substance. That we have to understand properly. Not that we do some wild, adulterated, bring people in touch with that. That will not transform them. Pujala Ragapat Gaurava Bhange Matala Sarujana Bishayarange. The reason Gurudev asked Guru Maharaj's permission to change his line is Vishaya. In Bengali, it means, it can be understood to mean something mundane. But Guru Maharaj selected the English word bait. Like you use bait to catch a fish. So he's saying the Bishayarange means some bait is used. So Sanyal, Professor Sanyal writes a book called The Erotic Principle and Unalloyed Devotion. So people think, oh, I'm interested in erotic principle. Let me read this book. And then they go, oh, it's not exactly what they were thinking, what they had in mind. But he's using erotic principle to bring them in and bring them in touch with this substance. He's not in that book talking about different types of erotic things or mundane eroticism, but just in the title, he's baiting. Any other question?
Yes, we have a question from internet, from Teresa Loretta de Mola.
That's Topunonandini Didi in Mexico.
And the question sounds like, where was first revealed the Mahamantra?
Where
was first revealed the Mahamantra?
Where was Mahamantra first revealed to the world?
Uh-huh. Well, it can be an esoteric question. Because we take this, as Gurudev liked to say, it's the transcendental sound vibration form of the Lord. So that means it's concomitant to his own existence. And as Guru Maharaj has expressed elsewhere, evolution means gradual expression of what's already there. So in this world, if you want to say, in different places, it's mentioned in Kali Santarana Upanishad and this place and that place. But our primary concern is with the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the current emphasis on Hare Krishna Maha Mantra comes from Mahaprabhu and his divine paraphernalia. Any other question? Just as Guru would say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Let's use this as an example. That's not written in any book. Guru Maharaj said it comes from Mahaprabhu and his paraphernalia, meaning the Panchatattva. So the where, the when is all superficial. Netihasa na kalpanam. It's not a historic occurrence, neither it is imaginary. It's just descending into this plane with the Supreme Lord and his paraphernalia. Yes.
I wanted to ask about the spontaneous love and the sense control. So how to understand that they exist together?
Okay. Without controlled senses, there's no question of spontaneous love.
But this seems to be a paradox.
No, it completely makes sense. If someone senses, dhira, the slogan says, Vikriditam Brajabudu Biritam Javishnu Shradhanvatonu Shranaya Dattavarna Yedya Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdhikamam Hridrogamashu Api Achinoti Api Achinoti something, Dira. So, Hridrogam means heart disease, right? Expressed in uncontrolled senses. So, without the senses being relatively controlled, that one is going to express raga bhakti. That means spontaneous love here. Raga marg. Now we're back to Saraswati Thakur's cautions, saying if this is not there at the basis, then they may be telling that it's spontaneous love, but it is mundane because the senses are not controlled. So they're taking divine things and making them, in his words, vulture food, saying the senses are like vultures. So if the senses are under the control of lust, right, then there's no question of expressing spontaneous love, which means here, raga bhakti, raga marg. So there's vidhi marg. They have to gradually come under control. And then from that position, dhira, undisturbed, no sense disturbance. Then when they hear the divine pastimes of Radharani, Krishna, and Brajagopis, that will awaken spontaneous love, loving sentiments within them. Otherwise, under the influence of love, Atmendriya, right? What is it? Atmendriya Preeti Dari, Ichabuli, Krishnendriya Preeti, Ichadari Premanam. We'll project that our experience of mundane love will project that as being, will impose that idea on spontaneous love of raga bhaktas, and that's an offense against divinity to think these pastimes are mundane, like the mundane affairs between men and women. So why is Sukadeva Goswami the speaker of the Bhagavatam? Because it's first certified, ascertained, he has no interest in the mundane love affairs between men and women. His senses are under control. And in that state, hearing about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, spontaneous love, raga bhakti, is awakened in him, and he appreciates that. So it's to show that they're two different things. One is egocentric, the other is theocentric. Atmendriya, to satisfy one's misconceived self. Krishnendriya, to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite. Devotion, what to speak of raga bhakti, means at its basis, beginning, middle, and end, it's for Krishna. That's the purpose of the why anything is being done. It's envisioned from the beginning for the pleasure of Krishna, and by extension, his devotees. Not that I'm thinking something about myself, and then I realize that, and I'm willing to share part of what I achieved with Krishna. That's not Krishna bhakti. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma adyanavritam. It has no connection with jnana and karma. Anukulyena krishnanushilanam. It's what's lilanukul or krishnanushilanam, favorable to Krishna. Not, oh, I like doing this. I like doing this within Krishna consciousness. And we see the idea that someone whose senses are completely out of control, they will hear the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and that will somehow cure them of their lust is a God delusion. Shradhan vato anushanayad. So with faith, anusranaya, hearing from proper authorities, some person came to Gurudev in Vrindavan talking about manjaris and this, that, and the other thing. And Gurudev was told, first of all, he said he didn't know anything about it. But the man insisted, and it was like English as a second language, or and he's saying, and Gurudev's pleading ignorance of all this. And then he's saying, no, Krishna and little, he said, Krishna and little girls. That's what he said. And Gurudev went, oh, Prabhu. He said, I can understand Krishna having loving pastimes with older girls, but with little girls, this is too much. Please. Then he got up and he said something in relation to the Guru Varga. And he said, that's all they told me. If they tell me anything more, I'll get back to you. Read Chaitanya Charitamritam. They're not just stories. It's the perfect expression of the ultimate reality and how to make your approach. So we hear in the Anti Leela, Pradyumna Misra, he goes to Mahaprabhu to hear Krishna Katha. Right? Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Radha and Krishna combined, Radha Bhava Subalita, Krishna enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. Pradyumna Misra, a qualified devotee, asks Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can you tell me about Krishna, Krishna Katha. And what does Mahaprabhu say? Krishna Katha, ami jani na. Like Gurudev, I don't know. He said, but I know who does, and that is Ramananda. I heard from him. You can hear from him. You have my approval, permission, and recommend. Go hear from Ramananda. This story is it's not just a story, you know, it's pastimes, Lilanuka, perfectly constructed. Then what happens? He goes to see Ramananda, and we're told, what is Ramananda doing at that time? He's written a play called the Jagannath Balab Natak, a drama. Who was Jagannath Balaba? Anyway, and there are girls known as Devdashi. Means from their childhood, they belong to the deity. And they're meant for the pleasure of the deities. So Ramananda Roy is teaching these two girls how to enact this play he's written. And because they will need to express by gesture and movement and dance ecstatic emotions, he who, we should remind everyone at this point, is Vishakha Sakhi of Lalita Vishakha. So Vishakha Sakhi can say, when this verse comes, here's how you will express it in this way. But they need to be trained and cared for. So what are we told there at that time? Ramananda is massaging their bodies with oil, and they're naked. So these girls, they're naked, he's massaging their bodies with oil, including the private parts of their bodies. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the sannyasi, told Pradyumna Misra, you should hear from the grihastha, Ramananda, who's massaging the naked bodies of two dancing girls. That's who you should hear Krishna Katha from. So then we can think, well, is this not the violation of what we just spoke about 15 minutes ago? That's what Pradyumna Misra is thinking. On some level, his mind is disturbed. His heart is disturbed. He's somewhat confused. But the attendant, finally, Ramananda comes and says, how may I serve you? And at this point, he says, I just wanted your darshan. Now that's been achieved, my dandavats. And he goes. Then Mahaprabhu, he meets Mahaprabhu again, and Mahaprabhu said, did you hear Krishna Katha from Ramananda? And he said, no, I just gave my dandavats. But Mahaprabhu can understand that there's some doubt, some apprehension in his mind. And he tells him that Ramananda is a prakrita, a prakrita deho. It appears as though he's embodied, that he's a human being, embodied, but he's not. He doesn't have even a trace amount of exploiting tendency within him. And his body is 100% spiritual. And then to underscore his position further, Mahaprabhu says, as a sannyasi, he said, if I hear the name of a woman, I get a reaction internally. He said, if I see a statue of a woman, or the representation of the form of a woman, it can disturb my mind. But not Ramananda. So you go and hear from him. So both things are dealt with here. That yes, Pradyumna Misra went away, taking him, that if this is a man who is having mundane relationships with women, we are not to hear Krishna Katha from him. That shouldn't be lost upon us. Rightfully, he's saying, if that is the case, then he is right to withdraw, to not hear from someone whose senses are full of lust, right? And the most intense type of lust, which is, sexual. But Mahaprabhu is telling him, that's not the case with Ramananda. He, in fact, he's so far beyond it all. He has a divine form. He doesn't have a mundane body. He doesn't have a trace amount of an exploiting tendency in him, so much so that he can massage these naked girls with his own hand, including their private parts, and there's nothing untoward about it. And that's the person who is taken to be the Ragamarg Diksha Guru of Mahaprabhu. And what is and before someone says, well, I know someone like that. Really? Mahaprabhu says to Pradyumna Misra, Ek Ramananda. There aren't two. So you go and hear from him. So he returns with this kind of recommendation from Mahaprabhu. And Ramananda says, what service can I do for you? And he said, oh, I would like to hear Krishna Katha from you. And Ramananda, what type of Krishna Katha? He said, oh, what you told Mahaprabhu on the banks of the Godavari River, I'd like to hear that. And we're told Ramananda begins in the morning, speaks through the afternoon, they're not eating, into the late afternoon and to the early evening. So he engages in some intense Krishna Katha for maybe 8-10 hours. So Vikriditam Brajabadu Biricham De Vishnu. So some sahajiyas, they will say, well, you're saying you first become cured of the disease, then you can take the medicine. Gurudev had a nice response to this. He said, no, the topics of Radha and Krishna and their divine pastimes with Braja Gopis are the ultimate medicine, no doubt. He said, but just like we know Gurudev was fascinated by homeopathic medicine. And he said, just like homeopathic medicine, you have to identify not only what is the medicine, but what is the potency, then the dosage of that potency of that medicine, and he added to that, and your time for healing must have arrived. And my own example, based upon what I've heard from Guru Maharaj and the scriptures, and is that sometimes separation is compared to snake bite, having been bitten by cobra, that type of suffering. Now, you can say, well, what is the cure for that? Is cobra venom. Right? The antidote is made from that substance. But it only has that effect when you're suffering from snake bite. Right? So, really, when someone is afflicted, really and truly feeling separation from Krishna, they can't tolerate it anymore. Not out of curiosity or fantasy, but someone's heart cannot tolerate being separated from Krishna. To that afflicted heart, this will be the antidote. It'll be the cure for their suffering heart. Tavakatamritam, tapta jivanam, kavipir iditam, kalmasha apaham, sravanamangalam, srimadatatam, bhuvi grinantite, buridajana. That's the method employed by the Braja Gopis. And this should be noted. All suffering is due to separation from Krishna. All suffering. Whether it's the suffering of the conditioned souls or the anguish of separation experienced in the hearts of the Braja Gopis, the cause of all suffering is separation from Krishna. And the cure for separation from Krishna is to hear about him from his devotees. and then to kirtanam, reproduce what we've heard from his devotees. Sravanam kirtanam. Srotavyas kirtitavyascha smartavyas chetstadhabhayam. Sukadeva tells this to Parikshit Maharaj in the very beginning. So under all circumstances, O King, Srotavyas kirtitavyascha smartavyas chetstadhabhayam. Hear about Krishna, glorify Krishna, remember Krishna, then you have no fear. Nothing to worry about. Everything will be all right. Hare Krishna.